Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. That's why when it comes to hard work, nothing works harder than a Chevy Silverado. No wonder Chevy Silverado is the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Check out a new Silverado at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
Got a lot to get to with Max Armstrong here today. Max, good evening. Thanks for hopping on with us as always.
John, good evening to you. It's always a privilege to be on with you.
We have a lot to get to, but I found this article. On Wednesdays, I usually try and look at old newspapers that are digitized and try and find old funny advertisements to read about, because the ads in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s or well before that are often make me chuckle. But I found one article that I think you would find interesting, Max. You mind if I read you a little bit about it?
Please do.
The headline is, "He's 108 and he wants a young wife, about 90. This is from 1961. 108 years old, Andrew Williams wants a young wife. He wants someone that won't complain about his evening cigar smoker, his evening warmer, which is a husky belt from a pint of bourbon. I don't want women who will moan when she sits down or grunts when she gets up. He was born in 1853 with his folks in slavery." This article is incredible. It's from Champaign, Illinois, the Illinois Times, Max. Whoa. And he tells about memories of the Civil War. And I know this has nothing to do with Your Money Matters, but I just found this article so interesting. He was a farmer for many years, 30 or 40 years. And then he said, "Well, I ended up getting a job in an office after that. And I could tell you that wasn't real work. The farming was the real work." And the last thing I'll leave you with, Max, before I let you react to it, he says, "Take me. You always got to be obedient. That's how you make it long in this world. I never did nothing wrong. Oh, I did shoot two men one time, but that was just to protect some kinfolk." So there you go. Right from East Central Illinois, Max.
Yeah, you know, I'm the same way. I love to look at archives. I love to go through some of the old articles. And Prairie Farmer Magazine is the oldest published magazine in America. And I was going through some of the archives here in the Chicago area a few weeks ago. And I tell you what it does, it reminds me of how far we have come in terms of the mechanization and the advancements of the technology. I mean, many of the same problems farmers are dealing with. When you look at the headlines, you know, they're talking about Congress and problems with the Farm Bill and getting the farm policy in place. But then you look at the advancements that have come along in mechanization and technology to the seed, and it is all the difference of night and day, of course.
Yeah, it makes maybe you feel a little more comfortable that if we got through it then, we'll get through it now, whatever it may be. And I just want to point out there, I did not prep Max Armstrong at all for that. And he had a natural transition to the story I brought him on to talk about, which is just that's a professional broadcaster through and through. All right, Max, you talk about the advancements of mechanization and farming. You and I have chatted a little bit about that. The advancements in AI that we've all been talking about in everyday life, does that apply to farming? Are we seeing AI advancements in the farming world?
Yeah, absolutely. And it really is remarkable. And it comes at a cost. Let me hasten to point that out. I mean, the machinery is expensive to bring this technology out to the field. But the precision that it delivers, that it allows the farmer to deliver, and to spend no more than necessary on crop inputs, using no more than necessary in terms of crop protection chemicals or artificial fertilizers, you know, to the point of just pinpointing the weed that needs to be taken care of in the field, spraying that weed and nothing else. And it really is remarkable to see. And then to be able to document it, to have a record of what that machinery is doing in the field, how much of that crop protection chemical is being used. Yeah, we're advancing rapidly, very rapidly as well. I mean, it's amazing to see the advances that are taking place.
Well, that's what I was going to ask is, so you have some machine and an AI built into it that can that's spraying for weeds and it can identify a weed. Is it also in the harvesting of crop where it can identify exactly here's my farming naivety coming through, what crop to pull and what one to leave?
Yes, absolutely. You know, it's funny we're talking about this. I have just completed the last 3 days working on a television series called Farm Next. And we've brought into the studio entrepreneurs, inventors who have come up with devices, techniques, things that need financial backing. And a company called Pivot Bio has sponsored this, offering $50,000 in an award to the company that wins this. So I've been sitting down with inventors and these creative minds and listening to their concepts that they presented, and it really is remarkable how far we're going to continue to advance because these people are stepping up with their ideas, they're following through with them, and they are finding people, ultimately, who will bankroll it. One of the guys sitting on the panel with me, I just left him about an hour and a half ago, makes the decisions for Continental Grain Company in their investments in the food and agriculture space. And it was just, I have to say, it just gave me energy sitting and talking with him because of his enthusiasm for things to come along in the future that will continue to advance our food production.
Yeah, I have a couple more questions about AI with Max Armstrong in the agriculture world in a moment. And I do want to ask a little bit about these wildfires and potential drought situations. I'm talking with Max Armstrong about AI in farming and the advances in technology. Max, we had a great question from a texter who finds all of this amazing, and they wanted to know your opinion about, you know, AI eventually getting to the point where we could better predict yields, or are the intangibles still going to be too high that even AI wouldn't be able to know what's coming down the horizon?
No, I think AI will be able to predict yields and with great certainty. One of the inventions that I had the chance to review earlier today was a leaf reader. The portable device can be put around the leaf of the corn plant, and you get immediately not only a scan that is set up to the cloud, but an analysis of what is missing in that corn plant, whether it needs more of a micronutrient, whether it needs sulfur, whether it needs some more nitrogen at that point. And the farmer doesn't have to wait 5 or 6 days to know. He or she can know with certainty exactly what that plant needs. So we will be able to predict, I believe, especially when we know the amount of moisture. That's going to continue to be the big variable for the weather, whether or not we're getting significant moisture, whether the heat is too intense. And, of course, farmers and seed companies are trying to work to give us even better hybrids that can take away some of those variables.
That's incredible. I know food prices have gone up over the past few years, but we're still lucky to live in a country where food prices are relatively small, less, Max. I guess what I'm asking is AI, is there any potential for all this technology to lower food prices more, or is the technology expensive enough to actually make them go up a little bit?
No, let me hasten to point out, food is one of the few things that can go up, John, and then fall back. Let me give you a perfect example. The price of eggs.
Mm-hmm.
The price of eggs have tumbled over the past few months simply because of the high path avian influenza problem that existed last year has calmed down now. Think of all of the things that go up in price and don't come back down. But food quite often will retrace its steps. You know, pork is, much to the chagrin of pork producers, pork is not a terrible expensively priced product right now. You know, we've got too much of the world. A hog producer is losing about $25 for every animal right now because of the cost of production, interest rates, higher feed costs. So there are things that go up, and they do, in fact, come down in the agriculture commodity space.
That's fascinating, that last stat you said. For every animal they have and they produce, it's $25 of a loss?
Yeah, the hog industry is losing money right now. Now, historically, that hasn't gone on long. You know, the biology of the animal allows them to cut back. You know, if you get in a downward spiral in terms of prices for cattle, that's a different story because it takes a little bit to get out of that. But the pork industry, generally speaking through the years, has not been caught in a long downward spiral because of the inability to turn it around in a few months.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I want to pivot over here to the weather because I want to make sure I get to these two big stories. Last week, you were on with me when I was in for Lisa, and we were talking about the drought, the day that scattered storms were popping up everywhere, and I sounded like an idiot talking about how there was no rain.
I had to do was,
yeah, but I mean, since then, it's again been very spotty. I know we'll get a new drought report officially tomorrow. I believe they release those on Thursdays. Any more concern from where we were a week ago?
It's increased, John. You're exactly right. Those showers were, as you described them, spotty, highly spotty. I mean, you know, a farmer would get 2 tenths at his place, and a neighbor maybe a half mile away would get an inch and a half. That's the way it has been over the bulk of the Corn Belt over the past few days. I guess the saving grace has been the temperatures have not been intense, and sunshine, you know, the sunshine hasn't been intense either.
Right.
But, of course, the smoke has played a role in that.
Oh, great point. And we obviously had some more smoke in the upper Midwest. And, you know, we talked about the western Canadian wildfires. This smoke's obviously coming from the eastern Canadian wildfires, which had started up when we talked last week. Boy, this is a real problem. Those images out of New York are rather insane.
Yeah, they are. It's an air quality problem, of course, for man. But I think it remains to be seen the crop impact from this smoke. I know that seems like a strange thing to say, but in the past, I've known of examples of melon growers downwind from power plants who said, you know, there was an effect on their production they felt because of the smoke wafting from the stacks. So it's going to be interesting to see, especially with the sunshine being less than brilliant. What is that doing to crop development? You know, these plants need sunshine, and maybe they are getting enough. I don't know. I think at the end of the day, it's going to make for an interesting study about what effect the smoke in the summer of 2023 had on some of our crops.
Yeah, boy, I'd like to know that too. But you did mention, like, on a really hot day, and if it's been hot and dry for a long time, maybe some protection from the sunshine isn't the worst thing, even though it's coming at the expense of a lot of more serious things to the north.
Well, the other thing that's going on here, John, is our overnight temperatures have been so doggone moderate, and that is helping. You know, when you get into a situation with crops, and it's hot in the daytime, and it stays hot in those fields at night, that does take a toll on crop production. The other thing that many farmers are pointing out, my friends will say, you know, I can take a drought better in May and June than I can in July or August. The crop-robbing potential of a later drought, when you get into those critical days of July and August, is greater than it is earlier in the season like this.
Right. All right. I like to end where we often do is, okay, it's June the 7th here. We're in early June. What are farmers doing in June? Most of the stuff's already in the ground. Are they just watching it grow right now?
No, some are putting on crop protection chemicals. They're watching, you know, the development of the crop. And if there is a, you know, weed problem developing out there, I would simply say, if you're traveling rural roads, watch for farmers on their sprayers. You know, they're moving down the road. It's a big apparatus. It's going slowly. So some of the farmers are at that point now. Those who have hay in the field, they're out there in haying operations, bringing in that forage crop. So there's plenty going on right now, including trying to market, you know, watching some of these rallies in the market and trying to take advantage of them when they come along.
All right. We had one more question from the 6-0 from Sherry. She wants to know, could you repeat the name of the old newspaper that is still in operation?
Well, Prairie Farmer Magazine. In fact, they have a website, prairiefarmer.com. Prairie Farmer, of course, owned a radio station at one time. At one time, they owned WLS up the band. And then they sold it, and you know, it became rock and roll. But Prairie Farmer owned that station. And Prairie Farmer's been around quite some time. It's published basically out of the Chicago area. I think the home offices are still in St. Charles, but there's a website, prairiefarmer.com, and there is a physical magazine that farmers still subscribe to. There's also Indiana Prairie Farmer and Wallace's Farmer in Iowa, a number of states where you do still have these farm magazines.
Great stuff there. Hey, Max, thanks for chatting in on a wide variety of topics. It's always good to talk to you, my friend. We'll do it again soon, okay?
I sure appreciate it. Take care, John.
Yeah, that's the great Max Armstrong. I love talking to Max. I hope you all can tell. I truly do.